Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning seeking your face and claiming your promises. Lord, we live in special times, special moments in this world. Things are different now, but you never change, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you are with us, that you are with your people all the time. Lord, at this time, we claim your promises of protection, security, and safe. Lord, we pray for those, especially right now, we pray for those who are in the front line fighting this war, especially for doctors, nurses, and all the health care workers around the world who are fighting these battles, all the first responders. We commit them into your hands. Lord, please be with them. Give them encouragement every day. Give them strength. We also pray, Lord, for all the people that is discouraged, that is anxious, that is fearful and depressed. Lord, may everybody in the world turn up to you, because you are the only source of protection. You are the only source of confidence. Lord, we need you right now more than ever. Please also, we pray for everybody who is watching this broadcast. Be with each family. Be with each church member, both churches, Exeter and Armona, as well all the churches in the conference and all the churches around the world. Lord, we know that this pandemic will pass soon, but things will not be the same anymore. Please help us to see this as a great opportunity for us to witness for others. There is people looking for answers. There's people looking for light. And Lord, we're not blind. We're not in darkness. We know why all these things are happening, Lord. And we have faith and we have trust in you. Because, Lord, you are a faithful God. And you promised to be with us every day until the end of the world. Please, we pray, Lord, that as we open our Bibles, you give us a message through your word. We want a message from heaven, not from human human body. Lord, we pray that you send the Holy Spirit to every home, every people who is watching this transmission. Thank you, Jesus, for all these things. In your name we pray, amen. All right, thanks again for being here. And before I start my presentation this morning, I would like to encourage everybody who is watching to please, if you haven't, to please join us during our prayer meetings. As Brother Paul mentioned, our prayer meetings now are held through Zoom. So you might want to download this application, Zoom. It's very helpful. And we're doing a prayer meeting. For the Armona Church, we're doing Wednesdays and Fridays at 7 o'clock. And for my Exeter Church, we're doing, for now, Tuesdays at 6:30. So if you have questions about how to download this application, which is very important and also helps us to keep ourselves connected, to connect to each other, please give us a call. Give me a call, and I show you and explain to you how to download this application. Very helpful. And also, you can, if you don't have a smartphone or a laptop or computer, you can do, you can join Zoom meetings through a voice call. There is that option too. So again, if you don't know how to do it, please give us a call. All right, when I entered this building, it was a weird sensation, a weird feeling, seeing again these empty pews And it, really, I miss you all, guys, and I'm sure you also miss each other as well, both my churches. And let's continue to pray in God for this to end soon, so again we can meet together at church as brothers and sisters in Christ. We really need that. In the meantime, we need to continue praying for this situation, and most important, for the pour out of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. All right, I have been thinking a lot on this situation and this pandemic, and how is this affecting our life. But the most important thing is, what is the spiritual lessons that we need to learn from this? And I want you to go to this topic of materialism. It's a huge impact in our lives, in the way we think. And I think this situation should wake us up and start thinking, where is my treasure? Where is my heart? So the title of my presentation this morning is, "What is your treasure?" And it's based on this passage on Matthew 6:19. Jesus, this is part of the Sermon of the Mount. As I have mentioned before, Jesus Christ spent his time mostly teaching. He was a master, he was a teacher. And he only gave two sermons, one at the beginning of his ministry, and the other at the end. That's the prophetic sermon. But this one, he talked about many things, and he talked about the kingdom of heaven and the way we should live as a member of the kingdom of heaven. Now, look what he says in Matthew 6, chapter 9. Please grab your Bible, a computer or laptop, and read with me. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Do not store for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So I went to the original language, which is Greek, to see what is the translation, what word they use for treasurers and for store up. And what I found is they translate store up, storing up, and also treasurers, the noun treasurers, from the same root. So actually you should say, do not treasure for yourself treasurers. So do not start accumulating. It has to do also with value. Do not value things. Do not value material stuff on this earth. That's basically what the Greek language is telling us. Store up comes from the word also treasurers, which means to treasure, to value things, to start accumulating things. Why Jesus is telling us these words? Do not treasure up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy. No, we all know what's moth, right? And we all know what's vermin. Vermin is like a pest. Any animal, any insect that eat up things, right? Ruins things. And where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures where? In heaven. Okay? Where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So there's nothing wrong with store up treasures, right? There's nothing wrong with getting and buying treasures. The thing is, what kind of treasures are we storing up? That's the point. And that's what Jesus is clarifying for us. Yes, we should treasure, we should store up, accumulate treasures, but those who are in heaven. And we're going to talk about that later. What does he mean by that? Okay. Now, when I was reading this text and meditating, you know, many people, you have witnessed how the stock market has gone down deep, right? So what happened with a lot of us retirement plans? I've heard people losing in just in 1 week hundreds of thousands of dollars in their retirement. Okay? Why is that? Because, you know, our treasures, earthly treasures, are so vain, so fragile. They can be gone just like that. Okay? Companies are closing. There's, you know, a very dark future for our economies around the world. Okay? So that's what you say is pointing out to heaven, because the treasures that are in heaven cannot be destroyed like that, because they are eternal. And they are from different nature than earthly treasures. So what's a treasure? I was very curious, and I did some research. And this is from the History Channel website. What are the most famous treasures in the world? I don't know if you can see that from your computer or smartphone. But the number one, they place number one, the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, that was put it aside. They hid it, the Ark of the Covenant, so it couldn't be taken. It couldn't be destroyed, right? So that's something that still we don't know where it is. But it was interesting to me that History Channel placed as the most famous treasures of the world the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, and we know that that's going to be discovered, that's going to be found at the end of times. We know that, right? Now, another treasure, very famous treasure that hasn't been found, is a missing treasure. That's Moctezuma treasure, okay? This from the Aztecs. So we know that it was a treasure, but we don't know what it is. So you might want to try to find it, okay? And also the Blackbird treasure. We don't know what it is as well. So this is the most famous missing treasure in the world, okay? Now, why people store up treasures? Why we have the tendency as human beings to store up treasures? There is two elements, because it gives us what? A sense of value, right? You have this, you know, I always get amazed when the top of the line iPhone comes up, right? You can see people lining up, right? Long lines, even people camp outside the stores, right? They sleep outside the store, when the top of the line iPhone is going to come up. Are you seeing that? Now, you're seeing that now, right? The same thing you're seeing now, the same phenomenon you're seeing now, but they're lining up for what? For food and toilet paper. So having this object, this article, this item, it gives people a sense of value. I value because I have this. If I don't have this item in my possession, I feel miserable. So it gives you a false sense of value. Would you agree with that? Why people store up treasures in this world? The second element, sense of what? Security. Okay. How big is your bank account? How big is, you know, your possessions in value? How many properties you have? It's a false, and we're seeing this right now. It's a false sense of security, right? This virus does not discriminate. Death does not discriminate people, right? So there's this urge of people of accumulating things, material stuff, because of those elements, those two elements that I'm mentioning to you right now. What's materialism? Now look to this. It's not that material stuff is not important, okay? But let me read this definition for you. Materialism is the tendency, the urge, okay, to consider material possessions, okay, our clothes, our car, money, all material, and physical comfort as what? More important than spiritual values. Are you with me? It's not that, we need things, right? We need things. We need a house. We need a car. But when those objects, those things are our first priority, then we have a problem. We are being materialistic, okay? And we put those things as more important than spiritual values, then we have a problem. So I think if one lesson this pandemic has taught us as of now is to set up our priorities. What are the things that are more valuable for us? What is most important for us right now? And those things are those treasures that Jesus Christ is talking about in Matthew 6. So what are those treasures that we should store up over material stuff? We're going to talk about that later. So what causes materialism? So when you are living in a materialistic way, what's going to cause on you and society? Compulsive and impulsive spending. You know, we know that there are some people that just can't stop buying things. They call them accumulators, right? They accumulate stuff. And things that they never use. Or maybe they just use once in their lives. And we have seen documentaries on that, right? Their garage is full of things. Even living rooms, bedrooms, all things with no sense. Spending increased debt. You know, people are trying to satisfy this spiritual need with objects, with things. That's why they buy a lot of stuff. Decreased savings, depression, because nothing can satisfy this spiritual hollow that is inside us. It's only God. So people get depressed because they buy things, but then they need something else to buy so they can feel this false sense of satisfaction. Social anxiety, decreasing subjective well-being. Now listen to this, less psychological satisfaction and other undesirable outcomes have all been linked with materialistic values and purchasing behavior. I love this quote. The most important things in life aren't what? Aren't things. Would you agree with that? The most important things in life aren't things. And we are seeing that right now. What we're seeing is not things. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not material stuff. They're not things. The most important things in the world are not things. They're values. especially spiritual values. Now, what the Bible tells us about being materialist. He who loves money will not be satisfied. Wow. He who loves money, you know, sometimes we have this need. I have to have this. I have to have that. But what the Bible tells us, and this is King Solomon, right? A wise man. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. He was a rich king, right? He has all the money. But he's saying, money does not satisfy your emptiness. Material stuff will never satisfy your emptiness and your need for God. Nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. I can see how a lot of things right now are vanity. You can just watch around you, watch the news. It's vanity. People live in house. They can spend their money. There's some shortages. You might have the money, but there's nothing to buy. So money will not satisfy your emptiness. Ellen G. White says that this materialistic lifestyle is a ploy. It's a plan. Look what he said. This is Satan's words, okay? Go, make the possessors of land and money drunk with the cares of this life. So what is Satan's plan? To make us drunk, okay? To lure us, to entertain us, to distract us with the cares of this life. I think before this pandemic, we were living a very busy life. Not talking to myself right now. So there was a need to pause and think. And part of this is, you know, living this kind of busy life, always on the rush, is part of Satan's plan. We're reading right here from NGY. So make it drunk. Present the world before them in the most attractive light. Wow. Look at this. Look at that. Oh, the world, technology. So we can get attracted to the world and get distracted. That they might lay up their treasure here. Remember, these are Satan's words. And fix their attention upon earthly things. This really impact me when I read this. And I have to do a lot of questions to myself, make a lot of questions to myself. What is my attention? What am I trying to get? Am I missing the point? Am I so worried about material stuff? What am I going to eat? What am I going to get? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? Maybe I'm so fixed on this world. I'm so fixed upon earthly things. We must do our utmost to prevent those who labor in God's cause from obtaining means to use against us. Keep the money in our own ranks. Now she continues. The more means they obtain, the more they will injure our kingdom by taking from us our subjects. Remember, Satan's words. Okay? Make them care for money, more for money than the upholding of Christ's kingdom. Wow. So that, remember, this is Satan's ploy. It's a plan. This is a plan that he has to get us distracted. That's scary. And I think this is what's going on with many of us. So for us, it's very important to understand what's going on. And the spread of the truth we hate. And we need to fear their influence, for we know that every selfish, covetous person will fall under our power. Wow. And will finally be separated from God's people. So he's promoting selfishness and covetousness to separate us from God. How? Presenting the world as very attractive. How? By us storing up treasures on this earth. Now, let me be clear. I'm not preaching against money. I'm not preaching about materialistic stuff. I'm preaching about priorities. Look first the kingdom of heaven, and all the stuff will be given to you, will be added to you. Amen? He will take care of you. But your priority should be store up treasures in heaven. Because those treasures are forever, for eternal life. What are the heavenly treasures? Salvation, trust in God, trust, fruit of the Spirit. For me, those are the most valuable treasures in life. And I'm going to read some verse about that. Salvation first. Let me go. Salvation. I think this is the most valuable treasure, right? Is this a treasure? Salvation cannot be destroyed. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The Bible tells us it's a treasure. Amen? When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. He said in his joy, you know, he sold all his worldly treasure, his house, because he found this treasure in this field. So he was prioritizing. He was putting the kingdom of God in first place. He was able to understand the value of salvation. And God wants us to do the same. Salvation is the most valuable thing that we can have. Over all things in this world. So, store up salvation. Accept Jesus as your Savior. And let me tell you something. Salvation, even though has an immense value, is free. It's free for you and me. Amen? It's free. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a fine pearls. When he found one of great value, treasure, he went away and sold everything he had. Just give up and bought it. So please don't misunderstand me. I don't want you to, after Sabbath is done, it's finished, you go and sell your house and everything. No, I'm not talking about that. Again, we're talking about priorities and give the right value to those things that deserve the value. And this is the treasure. This is what Jesus Christ is talking about, storing up treasures in heaven. Live the salvation of Christ. You and I are saved. by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's a huge, there's no money, there's no gold and silver enough in this world to pay for that. So praise God and thanks Jesus for his salvation. Faith in God. For me, I consider a valuable treasure. Faith, our faith. Why? Look at this. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that overcomes the world is what? Our faith. We live in this situation, but we're not desperate. We're not without hope. We are not fearful. No, because we believe in God. And this is our victory. And even worse things are to come, right? The future, and I'm not being negative, I'm just saying what the Bible tells us. This is just the beginning, right? But for the believer, faith is a great value. Because you're going to go through this until we go to heaven with confidence in your heart, with peace in Christ. We're not in darkness. We're not blind. We have our faith. And I have to say this over and over. Just look to your past, to your history, and see your personal history. See how many miracles God has performed in your life. Faith is not blind. God always going to give you evidence of his power before he asks you to believe in him. So I'm sure everybody who's watching, everybody who is here has a story to tell about God's power, God's miracle in his life. So this is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So store up, make sure you store up that treasure in your heart. The truth. Why the truth? Look what Proverbs 23:23 says. Buy the truth. Okay? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. We know the truth, right? We're not in darkness. The truth is the light. So that's what I'm saying. We shouldn't be surprised of what are we living today in the world. Because we have the truth. The Bible is the truth. And it tells us why things are happening and what's going to happen in the future. So we don't need to stumble. There are so many theories up there. There's so many conspiracy theories. But we as Christians, we're not in darkness. We have the light of the truth. So make sure you store up the truth. This is a time to go back to the scriptures and read and understand the truth. We don't need to be alarmist. We know we're living in the end of times, but we shouldn't ask out of fear. We should ask out of confidence in God. And we have the truth. So we don't have to be in darkness. Now, I like this one. The fruit of the Spirit. That's another treasure that we need to treasure. Treasure up. Store up. This cannot be destroyed. This cannot be stolen. This is ours. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Now, notice that it says the fruit is a singular noun. It's not plural. Sometimes we think that there's many different fruits. No, it's only one fruit. It's like one package, right? So whoever received the Holy Spirit will have all these fruits, right? But the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces is love, joy, and peace. It is being patient, kind, and good. It is being faithful and gentle and having control on oneself. There is no law against things of that kind. Love, the first fruit that is mentioned. We love each other. We forgive each other. We express love. We have the Holy Spirit. You love your neighbor. Now, joy and peace. Is joy and peace very important right now? Can we be joyful still in this situation? Can you still sing in times of trouble and crisis? If you have the Holy Spirit, you will be able to sing, joyfully sing, and be in peace. And the world don't understand. People in the world don't understand. And they start wondering, hey, how come you, I mean, we're living all this crisis, but you're still singing to God? But you have a joyful spirit? I don't understand why. Yes, because we have this treasure, which is the Holy Spirit that produces the joy. Of course, yes. I mean, there are sad things going around us. But still we're joyful. And I praise God. I praise God because I have this faith. I'm not getting depressed or anxious because I believe in God. And I'll be joyful. I'll be praiseful to God all the time. Is being patient. Is this very valuable? Do we need patience right now? That we need to stay now 30 more days. I don't know how many weeks, at home. You know, I love exercise. And I really miss going to the gym. But I need to be patient. And I'm sure that you, those of you are watching, you miss your regular activities, right? But this is a valuable treasure. Please be patient. Be patient, okay? Just like I said before, I miss my people here in the church. It's only four of us here right now. And I just can't see, you know, where people sit, and I miss their faces, smiling faces. I miss the songs, but we need to be patient. We need to be patient. And God will fix this, hopefully very soon. But one thing that when I think about this situation, I think, well, there will be one day in heaven when we all go to heaven, right? Not Dana, if you're watching, I know that's your favorite song. When we all get to heaven, right, there will be no virus. There will be no death. But in the meantime, we need to be patient. Kind and good, right? Now that we are living 24 hours, 24/7, spending time at home, do we need to exercise patience with our kids, with our spouses, right? You know, before this, well, we all go to our regular activities. Kids go to school, right? We get to work. So we give some time apart each other, but now we have to live there. We need to be kind, patient, and good, right? It's being faithful. Faithful. We need to be faithful to God, right? It's a big treasure. And we need to be faithful to God because we love him. And he also is faithful to us. And gentle, and having control of oneself. Very important. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control. And that includes not to get anxious about a situation, not to get fearful about the situation. That's self-control. Those are emotions that sometimes get out of control. I get so nervous. I get so fearful about the situation. What's going to happen? Please ask for the Holy Spirit, and he will give you self-control. Amen? There's no reason to fear because God is with us. So if you have the Holy Spirit, there is no law. There's nothing against the Holy Spirit because you will overcome the world. You overcome troubles for the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, again, do not store up treasures in this world, because they're going to perish. They're going to be destroyed. But store up those treasures that are so valuable in heaven. Jesus Christ is coming soon. We all know that this is not home, but we go in heaven. You want to go there? Be faithful to God. Ask God to take away from you any materialistic stuff, any materialistic feeling or values that you might have in your heart. Give your heart to Jesus. Because wherever is your treasure, that's where your heart is going to be. May God bless you all.